fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Hello, hello, Penelope Noir. How's it going? She's miraculously put on her fashion hat. We're ready to go. What are we talking about this morning?
I thought we'd talk about perfume part two.
Woohoo, very good.
So last week we talked about the history of it. And this week I thought I'd talk about, the notes, what makes up perfume, and the percentages that are, you know, like when you get eau de toilette or toilette,
yep,
and eau de cologne and eau de parfum, like what that means.
Yeah, because I was going to say, are they not all the same thing? What's the deal with all of that?
Yeah, well, first of all, the thing that I found out that was, I quite found fascinating, was that the reaction to smell is primal in nature. Because when you think about it, it does, if you smell stuff, like perfume or whatever, it brings back memories.
Yeah, totally.
And
yeah.
And the sense of smell goes through less brain processing than other senses. And it's close to the olfactory nerve is only two synapses away from the. Oh, do you know how to say this word?
Give it a crack. What have we got here?
Amygdala or something?
I don't even know.
Somebody else will know.
BFM listeners, how do you say that word? I'm sure you guys know the word we mean because you're all very wise.
For us? It's a brain structure critical to expressing and experiencing emotion. And because of this direct connection, smell can invoke an immediate emotional response. So perfume is made up of three components. The top notes, which is the lightest molecules, and they evaporate first.
Mm-hmm.
So designers usually put spicy or unusual, even icky smells here to interest you, but they don't hang around long enough to be unpleasant. So
is that like if you were to put the perfume on, you smell that immediately, but then that's the first to sort of just
fade you smell out. That immediately, and then it kind of wafts away, evaporates away. And
okay,
then the heart notes, that kind of appears after 3 to 4 hours, and it's usually what you remember about the perfume. So if it's floral, flowery smells go here. Base notes appear 4 to 5 hours after application and often used to hold and boost the strength of the and lighten top and middle notes.
That's so interesting. I've never realised how that sort of worked. I didn't know what those words meant. I just was always like, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, it smells
so
very
nice. It's weird, eh? It's like this kind of process of the smell kind of coming out on your body.
Yeah, so this is all to do with the kind of chemicals that are used that helps them stay for those different durations.
Yeah. So, and I guess if anyone's ever done chemistry, or people know that there are lighter molecules and other molecules. So I guess I know with hair dye, red hair dye is smaller molecule, so it falls out of your hair faster.
Right. Okay.
So I guess it's the same with this kind of thing.
It's so interesting.
Is there anything about...
Oh, here we go. Thank you, BFM. Amygdala. There we go.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I should have looked
amygdala.
It up.
Amygdala. Amygdala. That's right.
Amygdala.
Yeah. I knew it was somewhere in the back of my head, but thank you very much, BFM listener.
I didn't look that up and I should have. It's very lazy.
Was there anything about how different smells mix with your skin? And so how one scent can smell one way on one person, but then different on someone else?
Yeah, I don't know. I should sort that out.
Because my flatmate loves my perfume, but when she went to try it, she was like, it smells different on me.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. So it must be the way it mixes
magic
with your skin or your own scent.
Yeah, it's bizarre, eh? So base notes include things like musky, watery, mossy, and woody chemicals. And I thought I'd give you an example, Chanel No. 5.
Okay, a classic.
Which is what I wear. The top notes are neroli, lang lang, bergamot, amalfa lemon, and aldehydes. The middle notes or heart notes are iris, jasmine, orris root, rose, and lily of the valley.
So it is a very floral perfume. It's got that real punchy.
Yeah. Base notes are vetiver, musk, sandalwood, patchouli, oak moss, amber, vanilla, and civetta.
Oh, just a few things in
there.
That's
massive,
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you said that the top notes are sort of a bit spicy sometimes, you also said a bit icky. What kind of icky smells do they put in?
So, modern perfumes nowadays, you'll have things that are, they've got kind of unusual names.
Mm-hmm.
A friend was telling me yesterday that he went into World and checked some out and they had names like semen and stuff like that.
Ooh, rock and roll.
They don't have that actually have that smell, but it's kind of like modern designers will put something that's weird, like tobacco or something like that in that first top note.
Yeah.
So you go, oh, you know, but then it develops intrigued. Into something better to hold your interest.
I was listening to a very nerdy science podcast on the weekend because that's who I am as a person. And they were talking about beaver anal glands being like a classic thing in the Victorian era that was used in perfume.
Yeah.
And apparently they smell really floral, like quite like a bed of roses, literally. And they would use it often as a heart note in certain perfumes because it would stick around and you'd be like, wow, that's such a nice smell. Yeah. You smell like roses, but it's actually beaver anal glands. There we go.
I've got to wonder, like, who went, right, here's a beaver.
Yeah. Let's give it a sniff.
Yeah, this is, how do you discover that? How do you go, you know what, I reckon probably actually smells really good.
Yeah.
Beaver anal glands.
I imagine
let's try it out.
It's because they would have been like walking around in the forest and they went, what's that smell on that tree? You know, because they would have been marking the territory. But yeah, in my mind, I've got a more kind of puerile idea of how that works.
I mean, to be honest, that's still pretty puerile. Like, oh, I wonder what sort of made that scent.
Yeah. Someone texted in saying chemicals and different DNA make us all smell different.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we go. Yeah.
So there you go.
We all have our own perfume.
Yes. So
that makes me think of that quite freaky movie. You know that perfume movie?
Oh, based on the book.
Yeah. Anyway.
I thought they captured that really, really well in the first opening scene because I never thought, like in the book, I never thought they'd be able to capture that in film.
For people who don't know, what's the film about?
It's called Perfume. It's by, is it Patrick Suskin?
Is it Perfume and a Genius? What is it called? The Murder of a Genius? Is this the same thing?
I think. Oh, I don't know.
Story of a Murderer.
Yeah.
Perfume Story of a Murderer. And basically, it's about a guy who has exceptional olfactory senses, and he wants to make perfume and he wants to encapsulate the essence of young women.
Yeah, it's a very famous, very freaky book/movie, and if you feel like that's something you can deal with, watch it, because it's a good movie as
It's really
but
good.
Also, yeah, freaky as.
Yeah. So I also thought I'd tell you, like, the percentages of perfume that are in things. So, because, you know, I always thought that you get the perfume and then you go, oh, yeah, that's just the perfume.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so perfume, like, parfum is the most concentrated of all scents. It's 20 to 30% of pure essence and it lasts up to 24 hours. Eau de parfum is considered nightwear and it's 15 to 20% pure and it lasts 5 to 8 hours.
Okay.
And both men and women wear that one. Eau de toilette is considered daywear.
Mm.
It's 5 to 15% pure, lasts around 3 hours and is the most popular.
Right.
That's more like one that women tend to wear more.
Okay.
Eau de cologne, of course, is more kind of masculine. It's 2 to 4% perfume, oil, and alcohol and water. And cologne is considered masculine because it's got a higher concentrate of alcohol and it's originally referred to as a traditional recipe that used herbs and citrus notes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's Eau fraiche, which is lasts for 2 hours. It's only 1 to 3% and it's low fragrance concentration and doesn't contain a lot of alcohol.
So it's subtle.
So I guess it's like rose water and stuff would be like that.
Okay, yeah. That's so interesting. I've just never thought about the distinctions between those things before, but it must be such a fascinating science to work in.
Yeah, when I was like kind of researching all this stuff, one of the things that I was looking at was just on YouTube and they had perfume houses and people go, like there's one video where they go to Guerlain and this woman takes her 12-year-old daughter and she's going to get her first perfume.
Ooh.
And it's a rite of passage.
Wow.
So in French society, you know, not meaning to stereotype, but some people take their daughters and sons and stuff at a certain age to go and get
their signature scent. Ooh, I feel like I'm not fancy enough for that.
No.
I wish I was. I used to be able to identify one perfume from scent and it was because it would give me a migraine immediately, so I would be like, I know what that perfume is, but I've since been able to pass that through and now I think it's a lovely smell, so there we go.
That's quite common.
Thank you so much for that, Penelope Noir. That was part two of Perfume Weeks. You can listen to part one, which we talked about last week, in the B-casts, and you can listen to this later in the B-casts if you feel like doing that as well, so cheers for that.
No problem.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.